Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and a reminder that all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we'll be pleased to send you a brand new book titled Christianity on Trial, A Lawyer Examines the Christian Faith. It's written by W. Mark Lanier, and of this book, Ken Starr, president of Baylor University, says this is an extraordinary trial lawyer's version of mere Christianity. In his inimitable fashion, Mark Lanier combines his superb expertise as a courtroom lawyer with profound knowledge of biblical scholarship and thoughtful reflection on daily life. Fearless in tackling the most difficult matters of belief, this engaging book speaks to all those interested in seeking truth, whether in the courtroom, in the library, or in everyday life. And I love what he says about the engaging aspect of this book, because he's absolutely right. For example, I'm looking on page 84, where Lanier gives us a word about science and faith. He says that some Christians and non-believers make the mistake of confusing things revealed by science with the theology set out in the Bible. Science teaches us how. Theology teaches us why. And then he says, think of it like a coffee pot. If you were to ask about the hot coffee in the pot, I could legitimately say, the pot of hot coffee is there because water dripped through coffee beans trapped in a filter. But another equally legitimate answer would be, the pot of coffee is there because my wife likes hot coffee in the morning. One of the answers discusses how it became a pot of coffee. The other answers why. And so it is with theology and science. Science tells us how things are, while theology gives us the explanation of why things are. A very good insight. And as I've said many times on the broadcast, science and theology are overlapping, interlocking domains, which is to say that if you read the Bible, you can find out a whole lot about how God created the universe, in that he created the universe in a sense so that we could see a reflection of him in that universe, his eternal power, divine nature clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore, writes Paul, men are without excuse. We'll go right to the phone lines. Many of you hanging on is always the number to dial to get your answers live on this broadcast. Simply dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And to get the book Christianity on Trial, remember you can order it via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or on the web at equip.org. You can also talk to our resource consultants. They're standing by. The number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. One other word. I did note that last month we ended up a little over $50,000 in arrears. And so we have to catch that up this month. So if some of you have the Lord's resources available to invest in ministry, it would be deeply appreciated, particularly this month. Again, as you give with a grateful heart, not out of compulsion, It's not a give to get idea in the Christian faith, but rather we give with a grateful heart, knowing that our giving is a means through which the kingdom of Jesus Christ is extended, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion online at equip.org or via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A lot of you hanging on, as I just mentioned. We'll go right to the phone calls now. First, Carolyn, listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Carolyn.
Greetings, Mr. Hank.
Hi.
I have been listening to you for a long time, and I am also a financial support
supporter
of the truth that you teach.
Hmm.
My question is about Jesse Duplantis and his teaching about God's healing.
Yes. Well, you know, his teaching is false teaching with respect to healing, and it's also quite blasphemous. Before I kind of parse out what he is saying and show why what he is saying does not comport well with Scripture, let me play just a couple of clips. Here's an example.
People ask me all the time, Brother Jesse, I've been watching you for years. I've never seen you sick. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I use the evidence that God has given me against the devil when he tries to put sickness on me. Let me just give you a revelation. When the devil tries to put sickness on me, you know what I say? Jesus, take your shirt off. He go, what? I said, take your shirt off, Jesus. And Jesus takes his shirt off, and I tell the devil, you see them stripes? By his stripes, I am healed. You understand? I got evidence that I am healed. Hallelujah. It ain't got nothing to do with feeling it. It ain't got nothing to do with me feeling it. It's got everything to do with Jesus' back. So all you got to do is stand up and say, I got evidence that I'm healed before I ever got sick.
Well, and you know, you note there, Carolyn, that he has the crowd whipped up in a frenzy. But they are really not thinking clearly, or certainly not thinking biblically. Because the whole idea that is communicated by Isaiah in Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes you are healed, does not have to do with physical healing, but rather has to do with spiritual healing. In fact, if you look at the context, Isaiah says he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah could hardly have made it clear that he had spiritual healing in mind. He communicates that Messiah Christ was not was to be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And of course, Peter builds on that theme in the New Testament when he says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. So again, Jesse has everyone whipped him to a frenzy, but they ought to be testing what he's saying in light of Scripture. If they did that, they would find out that he has twisted the Scriptures to teach something that is decidedly dangerous. The basic idea is that symptoms are a ploy of Satan to fool people and therefore deny the symptoms.
Okay, so we are not physically healed, we spiritually healed?
Yeah, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed, said Isaiah. Now, certainly, it is possible for God to heal us. We're not suggesting that God cannot heal or that God does not heal, but healing is not normative, and the kind of healing that is promised to us comes in the new heavens and the new earth, where there we will be every whit whole, which is to say that the universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we also. But in the meantime, we're all going to die of our last disease.
Okay, so like when we get ill and go to the hospital and this and that, and we claim that we're healed, isn't it God that's healing us?
Well, God certainly can heal us, but the reality is that how many times do we see anyone who is resurrected from the dead? Or how many times do we see people really healed? Let's imagine someone has lost their leg in the war. How many legs have we seen grow back on? The answer is we don't see that. And certainly we would see that kind of healing if healing was normative. So while God can certainly do that, the norm in life is that we all get sick and eventually we all die. What we're looking for is not perfect health in this life, but perfect health in the life to come. So we look forward to what we do not have, as the New Testament writers put it. We yearn for it expectantly. It's something that we do not yet have, but something that we look forward to.
Okay, so will we be saying, well, I know that my God is a healer. That's not right. I know I've been under Jesse DePlanis sometime hearing what he was saying.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think it's important, Carolyn, to realize that God can heal because God can do all things. But the natural order of things is that sickness is part of the human condition. Death is part of the human condition, that we look forward to resurrection. In the meantime, we're all going to get sick, and we shouldn't deny our symptoms. I once had a guy call me on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I wrote about this. His name was Kirk, and I'll never forget, he called me from San Marcos, Texas, and his story left this lump in my throat. What had happened, his mother had migrated from Pentecostalism into the Word of Faith movement, started listening to people like Jesse DuPlantis. And when a lump appeared in her breast, she purposed to deny the symptom, and thus she rejected medical treatment. And she was so committed to the faith message that even as the tumor continued to grow, she stood her ground. And it wasn't until the tumor had become a weeping sore, which consumed most of her breast, that she finally looked for medical attention, but by that time it was far too late. She died 6 months later. And even then, people in the Word of Faith movement were saying that she would be resurrected from the dead. And of course, this really, really stunned her son, because he said it sickened him to watch people from her church come to the front and praise her for what she had done and for the tenacity of her faith. And Kurt found this mind-boggling, because she had denied her symptoms. If she had not denied her symptoms, if she had sought medical attention, she might be alive to this very day.
Okay, because I recently had major back surgery.
Uh-huh.
And I've come a long, long ways, and I believe that God is healing me.
Well, and it may very well be. I'm not doubting that God can heal, Carolyn, again, as I mentioned
right,
a number
you,
of times. But what I'm saying is that we don't want to deny symptoms. We want to make sure that we avail ourselves of the medical technology that is available today, and we should never distort the scriptures as Jesse DuPlantis has.
I understand now.
Okay.
I do, yeah, and I do, and I'm not denying any medical advice, pills, and all of this, and I am getting better and better.
Well, that's wonderful, because God works through means, and those means often involve medical technology. Thank you so much for calling me today.
And I love you, and I believe in you, and I'm going to be sending some more money.
Well, bless you. Bless you. Thank you for not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. You know, this Jesse DuPlantis, he is one scripture torturer after another. Here's another example.
I love this verse of scripture. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, that's Psalms 107, verse 2. Before that was, when that was written, nobody was redeemed like we are today. Yet God was calling those things which be not as though they were. So I'm going to call those things which be not as though they were and say, today, you're going to get saved. You're going to get healed. You're going to get out of debt. You're going to get blessed. Hey!
And again, he's taking a passage out of Scripture, because when he says that you are going to get the things that you say, or you can call those things that are not as though they were. If you actually go to the biblical text, you find out that we are not to do that. It is God, not we, who calls those things that are not as though they were. So again, he's prostituting a biblical text. And this is called script torture or scripture twisting. And this is the art form that many of the Word of Faith teachers have made out of it. They're so subtle that the people clap and they cheer, and they don't realize that he has just set the scripture on its head or turned it into a wax nose so that it will communicate whatever he wants it to communicate, as opposed to taking out of the scripture what the Holy Spirit has placed in the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. We are coming up to a station break. Do remember, as I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, your support is, well, it is deeply needed, deeply appreciated. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We can only do what we do when you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be back again in just a moment with more answers.
Like it or not, your faith is increasingly on trial. With that in mind, could you persuade a skeptical jury that your beliefs are anything more than wishful thinking? In Christianity on Trial, renowned trial lawyer Mark Lanier summons a host of witnesses from across the centuries to provide compelling evidence for the Christian faith. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you were asked what Augustine and Anselm, Heraclitus and Descartes, or Josephus and Tacitus had in common, you'd be excused for drawing a blank. But what they have in common is that they are all witnesses called to the stand by one of America's best trial lawyers to test the truth of Christianity. Armed with incisive analytical skills and the well-honed ability to quickly spot weaknesses in arguments, attorney and Bible scholar Mark Lanier takes on the tough questions that Christians need to be able to handle today. With clear and penetrating insights, Lanier cross-examines historical figures from Charles Darwin to Friedrich Nietzsche, and from Adolf Hitler to B.F. Skinner. You won't want to miss the verdict in this new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for standing with us, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jim. He's listening in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. I'm glad you're well today, sir.
Thank you.
I'll preface really quickly. First, yes, my wife and I do have resources. We'll continue to share those with you.
Oh, thank you.
Secondly, 1992, I heard a gentleman, I use the word gentleman intentionally, he said, check me out. My opinion is no more important than anyone else's. The court of final arbitration is the word of God. And that has transformed my walk since then.
Oh, wonderful.
Listening to you in the call out of Weyva at the time.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. My question is about the concept of the apostle, the prophet. I'm seeing a lot of in my particular church culture, and I hope I'm not being rude. I want to join, not separate. But someone will come in and say, I'm the apostle. I've been called to be the apostle. So my question is this. What is the criteria of an apostle? How does one get to that particular office, and by what authority? And such that I don't ask a question and then answer it, I will share, I'll preface by saying that troubles me to have someone preach and teach for or preach for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Then they'll lay hands on folks and, you know, okay, God tells me you're going to be a dog catcher. God tells me you're going to go to Haiti and win the world. You know, they may look at me and say, God tells me you're going to be the next Hank Hanegraaff. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm an IT geek. I hope I'm being clear. And
sure. Yeah. Very, very clear. And I think what's important, Jim, is to realize that words and phrases are not univocal. They are equivocal, which is to say that the word apostle could be used in the sense of a church planter or a missionary, or a pastor of pastors. And in the same way, prophet could be used in the sense of a leader who challenges the church to deeper commitment to Christ. However, and you've alluded to this in the prologue to the question, the words apostle and prophet must not be used in a synonymous sense with the first century apostle John or with the Old Testament prophet like Jeremiah. People whose authority cannot be questioned or who receive new doctrinal revelations simply don't exist today. There are no new doctrinal revelations. In fact, the Bible teaches that apostles and prophets were commissioned by God to be his personal spokespersons. And as Ephesians 2 tells us, a church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Clearly, then, those who claim to be that kind of apostle and prophet have taken upon themselves authority that has not been given to them by God. They're simply commanding that authority for themselves. So in one sense, you can use the word as a missionary, speaking of an apostle or a prophet in the sense of someone who can speak not in foretelling the future, but forthtelling for edification and equipping and exhortation and so forth, but not in the sense of someone who can foretell what you're going to do in the future or who can have the authority of the biblical apostles and prophets.
Okay, awesome. If you would, just quickly, share with me just a couple of your nuggets of wisdom from God's Word and your own wisdom. How can I share with my pastor, my parish, that sometimes this is dangerous? Because I've seen young believers, young in age or either young in their walk, they get this prophecy told over them, and if it doesn't come true, they become disenchanted with the Lord. And some even leave the church.
Yeah,
not just the building, but actually leave the church, and then I'll be done, sir. Thank you.
No, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, the prophetic words of Scripture expose today's pretenders, and for the reason that you mentioned, not only do they fail the biblical test given in Deuteronomy 13 and 18, as well as, for example, in the New Testament in Acts chapter 1, but they're mouthing empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the sinful human nature, they're enticing people who are just escaping from the world to live in error, just as they themselves are living in error. And so it's a very, very dangerous practice. And you're right. I mean, what happens is these people will prophesy something over a person's life and turn them in the wrong direction, as opposed to what we ought to be doing. We ought to be led by the Spirit through people and through circumstances, but ultimately within the parameters of the precepts and principles given to us in the Word of God.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Count on seeing us in your database.
Thank you so much, Jim. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dodson. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Dodson.
Yeah, how you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I just needed a clarification in one question.
Sure.
We have been told and taught of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and it looks to me now that there is an evolution of that configuring everything to be one God, and mostly the Pentecostal church have taken it that there is only one God in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the only God. Now, my question is this. If Jesus is one God or God incarnate, why did God experience death? And secondly, if Jesus experienced death and was in the grave for 3 days, who was overseeing the world when God was dead for 3 days?
Yeah, well, first of all, God was not dead. In the incarnation, Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. And so the human body of Jesus Christ died. But certainly he did not cease to exist. In fact, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." So the whole idea that that Jesus died and therefore God no longer existed is simply false. And it is false for something that you, on the basis of something you mentioned in the prologue to your question, and that is the Trinity. The Trinity is something that we apprehend in Scripture. I certainly would not in any way say I comprehend it, but I apprehend it. The Scriptures teach us that there's only one God. So with respect to the nature of God, God is one. The Christian faith is fiercely monotheistic. But the Bible teaches very clearly that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and moreover, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Therefore, What the Bible is teaching us is that there's one God revealed in three persons, person used in the sense of identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead or subject-object distinctions within the Godhead. So we might say there's one what and three who's. Again, I think it's important to underscore the fact that this is something that I do not comprehend, I only apprehend. Now, if the Bible were teaching us that there's one God and three gods, that would be an obvious contradiction. I wouldn't bow my knee before a contradiction. But when the Bible teaches us that God is one in terms of his ontology, his nature or essence, and three in terms of interpersonal relationships within the Godhead, that is not a contradiction. It boggles my mind to try to sort it out, but it's not a contradiction. Again, it's one what, having to do with nature or ontology, and three who's, having to do with interpersonal relationships. So that's not a contradiction, but it is something that is beyond my comprehension. But as I've said many times on this broadcast, I'm not philosophically driven, I'm biblically driven. And thus I am bowing my knee before God's self-revelation of himself, not only to me, but to all that apprehend his word. If I, as a finite creature, could fully comprehend God, then God would be too small. And I think oftentimes our God is too small because we have not grown in our apprehension of God.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And you know, this is something, I was kind of flipping through this book. This is something that Mark Lanier talks about in Christianity and on Trial. It's fantastic. I'm just kind of picking up here something I was reading earlier on today. He says it's impossible to comprehend a God who creates and sustains the massive universe. Even if we could wrap our brains around such a God, it would be natural to wonder how he could care about each of us small individuals on this dirt clod called Earth, which spins around a solitary sun buried in the Milky Way galaxy amidst over 170 billion other galaxies. And yet the biblical God does care. He cares immensely. He cares with a passion and devotion that is as hard to understand as his character and power. And I think what happens so often is we form a childish view of God, which is to say we never grow in our apprehension of God, and that in itself is a crime because we created in the imago Dei, or the image of God, should seek to know the God who created us, the God who cares for us ever more clearly. And that means that we study to show ourselves approved workmen who need not blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth. I cannot emphasize enough how much I have appreciated this book, Christianity on Trial. As I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, Mark Lanier is a very famous trial lawyer and is one of the best lawyers in America. In fact, U.S. News and World Report as Best Lawyers named him to its Best Lawyers in America list for 9 consecutive years, and as the top, as the 2013 top class action attorney in America. His courtroom work has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times. He's a frequent guest on CNBC, Fox Business News, etc. And this book has been written from the perspective of someone who is, though an attorney, someone who wants to take those gifts and apply it to demonstrating that the faith that you have is not blind faith, but is faith founded on a refutable fact. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in this excellent work. If you don't have the book, it's available for your gift, Christianity on Trial. Christianity on Trial is the name. You can order it for your gift in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Just pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Be right back with more answers.
Would you be ready to take a stand if your faith were on trial?
Would you know which evidence would be admissible in a court of law? To say yes to these questions, you need more than mere faith. You need the answers that one of America's leading trial attorneys can provide. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return right after this. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
If your beliefs were put on trial by a jury of aggressive atheists, would the evidence of your faith be sufficient to acquit you? I hope so. But the sad truth is that many Christians today would simply wither under the prosecutorial fire of well-educated secularists. That's why you'd do well to read Christianity on Trial, a timely book by one of America's leading trial lawyers. Also a Bible scholar, attorney Mark Lanier summons to the witness stand leading historical figures to render a verdict on Christianity. From a cross-examination of Augustine and Descartes to Darwin and Nietzsche, you'll learn whether Christianity has the evidence to stand up in court. You won't want to miss Mark Lanier's new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Oh, thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone callers. Next up is Charlie. He's listening in Fort Smith, Arkansas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Hank. God bless you, Dr. Hanegraaff. I respect you gratefully and greatly. And I have been praying over this matter. I have been through two failed marriages, unfortunately, and the second one was real nasty. And it consisted of material items instead of the marriage itself. My question is the difference between a covenant marriage and a contractual marriage. And your interviewer asked if it were for purposes of monetary and this and that. No, it's not. It's just I want to be married. I don't want to live in sin. I have a girlfriend, and I've got a relative who is a preacher. I've discussed this matter with him. He said he would marry us, and I want to be right with God, and I don't necessarily care about the legalities of the state. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
I would appreciate your input and opinion on that and scripture.
I think that in most states you need to have a marriage certificate to be legally married or legally considered to be a couple in that state. And I think that you're also from the standpoint of true marriage being married in the eyes of God and in the eyes of humanity. In other words, you're saying that for better or for worse, you're committing yourself to that person in sickness and in health and good times and in bad times and so forth. So that the idea behind marriage is commitment. And that commitment is a commitment that is actually grounded in the commitment that Christ has to the church. And so it's an unfailing commitment. And now, obviously, having gone through bad marriages, I can certainly understand that you are gun-shy about getting married. But I think that if you truly go through the process of counseling within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, then you can get good guidance as to whether you want to make this a union that is a union that lasts until the day that you die. So I do think that it's important to be married as your wish is in the eyes of the church, but also in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of legality, as I think you put it.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate that, Hank. I want to do the right thing. And I know it is a very serious commitment to each other. And I have gone into marriage and wholeheartedly affirming that in the eyes of God and with the legality of the state. And it always takes two to make a marriage, and I've accepted my faults and wrongs in the marriage and marriages. But there again, the difference between the covenant and the contractual or the legality of it, and so it is a twofold situation then.
Well, I think it is, because if it is a marriage that is not on both counts, then it becomes something that you can walk away from as opposed to something that you are truly and totally committed to. And the whole idea is the two become one, and therefore what God has joined together, humanity cannot separate. So if you're in a situation, and Paul makes this clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where you're married to an unbelieving spouse and that spouse leaves and irrevocably breaks the marriage, then you're not bound in that circumstance. But if the other party wants to stay, you're not even permitted to get a divorce. You can't ever unscramble the egg. What's past is past, but you want to make sure that what you're doing now is not something that has strings attached to it, but wholehearted commitment, because love is not just a feeling. Love is just that. It is a commitment. Feelings ebb and flow, but the commitment should never die.
Yes, exactly. Well, I appreciate it, Dr. Angreff, and like I say, I love you in Christ and respect you greatly, and thank you.
Well, Charlie, thank you for your kind words, and I pray that you'll get all the counseling that is necessary so that your marriage will be an enduring reminder of Christ in the church.
Amen. Thank you.
Bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bonnie. She's listening in Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Hank. Hank, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hank, I try to educate myself by listening to you every day, and God's taken me to a deeper growth in Him.
Mm.
But, Hank, it's partly nerves. I'm in a Bible study. I have been for quite a while. And a man joined our Bible study last week, and he said that he talks to his deceased wife through a medium. And I said, well, can you show me in the Bible? Because I ask people when I don't understand something, can you take me there in the Bible to show me that it's okay? And he said, it's not in there. And I said, well, I can't buy that then, And then he went on to say he believed in reincarnation. And I said, well, I definitely don't believe in that. But anyway, this other lady that seems to know quite a bit, she said, was it Jacob that could interpret dreams?
Well, yes. And, Daniel had the power to interpret dreams, but not of himself. But this was a gift given to him by Almighty God, and this is not normative for us today. But as far as the first part of your question, the Bible is emphatic with respect to mediums. In fact, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving to you, Moses is writing this on behalf of God, this is under inspiration, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. So note the word detestable. And then Moses goes on to say, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, and then to the point, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. So the Bible in Deuteronomy is emphatic that we should not be involved in these kinds of things. This is not part of a biblical worldview. In fact, it's antithetical to a biblical worldview. So you are right in pointing out that this is a practice that no Christian should be involved in. Moreover, you're also right in that the Bible clearly does not teach reincarnation. The soul does not return dressed up in other bodies. Rather, what happens is the body is resurrected. So when we die, we don't come back in some other form, but rather when we die, we are absent from the body, we're present with the Lord as believers, and then when Jesus appears a second time, we return as unembodied spirits into bodies again that are resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
Hank, I agree with you 100%. But should I be afraid? I mean, other people found it interesting in the Bible, this man interesting. I didn't. I'm so scared that false prophets or someone's going to try to pull me away from the Word. But I think I'm grounded in it enough that I'm bold. I speak up for God, and I said, please show me in the Bible.
Well, and that's exactly what you should be doing, Bonnie. I mean, that's modeling what you ought to be doing. Now, first of all, don't be afraid, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the power of God to preserve is far greater than the power of Satan to plunder. Secondly, I think the very tact you used is the very tact that I would recommend. So you did it precisely as I think we're called to do it, which is to say, show me where that principle has any validity in the Word of God. Now, you not only are going to find out that they can't show you that, but conversely, as I just pointed out, you can show them the opposite, the inverse of that, which is to say that we should not be involved in those detestable practices because they take us away from the Lord our God. The Lord does not want us to communicate with the dead. Rather, the Lord wants us to communicate with Him. And when we ourselves die, then we will have an opportunity not only to be in fellowship with God, but also in fellowship with those who are departed. In the meantime, we run the race knowing that we are surrounded by those who went before us, in the sense that they are witnesses to us, not that they can watch us, but they are witnesses. Their lives are testimonies as the lives of the great men and women in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 are.
Hank, yeah. I want to be able to show him tomorrow. We meet again tomorrow. Was it Deuteronomy chapter 18?
Yes, that's correct. You can start around verse 9.
Verse 9.
Yeah.
Okay, Hank.
And if you want to hang on, I can send you some information as well, or someone can pick up the phone and alert you to some information that we have in articles in the journal that we can either alert you to in terms of where they are on the web, or just send you a copy of.
Okay, I'll hang on. Hank, he showed us a picture of this medium, and I got to thinking later, I almost didn't want to touch. I mean that's going a little extreme.
Yeah, you don't have to be superstitious. Again, the thing is, finally be strong in the Lord, says Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God. So if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. Of course, if you don't, you're a guaranteed casualty. So we who stand for truth, as you're standing for truth, do not have to worry about the plundering power of Satan, but rather the preserving power of God.
Thank you very much. I'll hold on, Hank.
You got it, Bonnie. Thank you so much for your call, and we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time? Your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. I look forward to answering more questions right here, Lord willing, tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.